on women over 30, without any more ado and without any concern about when we have to be through or whether we can continue it. Instead of having a panel or a kind of a planned thing of with a lot of questions that were loaded, I talked to Edna and I talked to Gertrude this morning at breakfast, a little bit yesterday, and I'll take this on myself. I just thought, why don't we just let it be open to questions and conversation that have to do with people's, with women's needs and interests and particular opportunities, as I hollered to Carol this morning when he was announcing it, that this was not a session concerning problems, but opportunities for women over 30, that it would rest somewhat on the mood of the group rather than trying to set it out as a kind of a laid out panel with everybody having one particular contribution to make. I asked Ann Lund to come over. She was coming anyway, but I wanted her to look up one book that I thought had an important quotation in it, which I would like to use sometime during the hour. But otherwise, I have no set plan, and I don't know if anybody else has either. I would like to just lay out the possibility of each of you feeling that we are a group who have one thing in common. We're all women, and we are all over 30, and we have as varied home situations, I'm sure, as anybody could consider, considering the fact that we are all at home village at the present time. Our home situation is somewhat limited from that point of view. So I would like to have anybody that wants to bring up any idea or problem or opportunity or privilege, thank you, found it, or suggestion that you have to make on the way you'd like to have the hour, what you'd like to have discussed in the hour, or a question that you'd like to have brought up immediately and throw it out for discussion. I think this way it's more democratic than if we try to, you know, push it or direct it in one particular way. Now, and it doesn't have to be, this can be staff, faculty, villagers, I don't care who talks first. And I'm just willing to...
I would like to have the women introduce themselves so we can learn to know who they are and where they're from.
Well, I think this is a good idea, except that I hate to take too much time on each, you know, individual person. Can we do it real fast?
Why not do it as a person speaks?
All right. When each person, that's a good idea. When you speak, and don't say you're so and so's wife.
I want to say that I'm not Mary Hinderly, because about three people have come up to me and said, "Are you Mrs. Hinderly? Or are you Mary Hinderly?"
I'm flattered, so I'll get up. Well, I think I'm flattered.
I bet nobody comes up to you and says, "Are you in the hall?"
Well, that's because they never see me.
You got to quit hanging around with Carol.
Right. Right. All right, Doris?
I'm Doris Edmond. Mary, I'd like to talk or have and listen to others talk about this tyranny of the should that so many women live under. And how do they handle it? Where do they decide that they should or they shouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get into situations where you feel guilty if you don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And should you? Or shouldn't you? You know.
Good. We can certainly open that. That's a good open question, and you can cover any realm you like in that field.
Well, I just said Ann Lund.
Would you just give us your name?
Ann Lund, Curtis Falk. I just said Ann Lund. Session this morning, and he said it depends on your sense of value. If this is what you value, do something to it.
I think, too, the point that he was trying to make was that the final choice you make as to what you do is your value.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And shows what your
values. And this is where your shoulds are. So. Right. Sometimes we say, I can't do this, as one woman said. What kind of choice can I make? I have to do all these things with my children. Well, this is her value. She's already made her choice. And the other things definitely are not high priority, or she would find a way to do them. That was the point he was trying to make.
No, I'm Betty Wolf.
Oh, yes, I'm Betty Wolf. I'm sorry.
Betty Wolf.
Yeah, and I'm Edna Hong, and I don't go to ALCW in Northfield, Minnesota. For the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, I haven't gone to ALCW, and sometimes the president will talk about trying to get peace. The uninvolved women, and you just feel guilty. But I've gotten over that because I've decided that I love to teach, and so I teach in the Sunday school, and I work very hard in Christian education, and I don't feel one bit of guilt anymore about not going to ALCW because I've chosen to put all my effort into Christian education because I think there's more hope for youth than there is for.
Wow, you mean you don't think there's any hope for over 30? I don't know why we don't leave.
For changing their,
I know.
Ways of thinking.
I think that's the reason I brought it up. I wanted somebody to say, just
thinking. Doris, you mean you're letting Edna's values, determine yours?
No, this is the thing that I have run into so much. I like to go to LCW, but I don't want to do the job that they expect everybody to do at LCW to do. Because I like Edna, am involved in other jobs where I feel my talents are needed more. And where I also have events where I get satisfaction. But I really enjoy the study groups at LCW, and I wonder if there's a way to go and let people know that you just want to go there and see the people there, talk with them, enjoy the study group, and not feel that you have to put your name on the list. They're always talking to us around where you put your name on. I'm happy to entertain the group in my home or serve refreshments. But when it comes to getting the community things ready and doing cleaning jobs and things like that, I'd rather be excused from that. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's the battle?
Will you tell us your name?
Who are these dogs and things in Illinois? First thing, half the battle is getting over the feeling of what you just said. How do I explain to people?
I don't want to have to explain to people.
I already know that if you pass through my life and I can say one thing to you, maybe help you. What difference does it make if I make the bread from the gun? I don't have to tell it. This is what I did yesterday, so I'm not having to fix the stuff that you need today. This is not here for the future.
Well, I think this is something you have to come first with sooner or later. And first, I always welcome a move because I found that I have always gotten before in the fine of my. I get more deeply involved than I want to get involved, and then moving into the state, and then I resolve all over again. I'm not going to do it again. I'm only going to do the things where I feel that I have some talent and for which I get a blessing and can thoroughly enjoy. Well, I'm going to do that right now. I'm struggling with myself, and I'm when I go to LGW, they always talk about, how are we going to get these people involved who aren't involved? Everybody ought to, volunteer for at least one job. Well, I don't even want to volunteer for one job.
I'm Gertrude Lindholm. Do you think you should be concerned if the organization is dying? If it dies, is it all right? Because everybody feels this way? Is that a good thing? I mean, I don't go either. Because I'm the same way. I can't be on all the committees. I mean, I've on so many, and I think, who do I think I am that I can handle it all? So I just finally back. Well, I mean, many of these are
PDA is worse. I don't care if that falls apart. I don't belong to it. If it had a need for me that I could see, Parent Teacher Association, and there was a drive, they need to do something, I would. If there isn't, it's not serving its function. Why go?
No, but many people are concerned about the church today, that it's falling apart. Should we be in there trying to hold it together, or are there other things that are replacing the church?
When you talk about the church, though, and in that way, I think there's also about rebuilding and deprogramming. I don't feel the church is falling apart. I am basically doing the things that the church that I've been taught to do.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I'm with you as far as I
can. You'll have to speak quite clearly and loudly because we're here, we do have to. It won't be long, and we can holler if we have to. I've heard all of us.
Need your voice.
Oh, I'm not worried about my voice. Yes. Pat, did you say?
Pat
Edmonds.
I think that we're handling the reading for some people in the older home. Along the needs and the interests of the congregation, where they can get to know themselves and give to people. And there are other members of other bills that are structurally different. I was surprised the first time I did go to the UDLC that they actually do all things to all people. You were doing everything. You were on the bazaar, you were on every committee, and it was just too much. And you didn't have a chance to have your own guests, or your own, what you had to do was count to do. There are other skills in other churches that they do a particular thing. They are interested in one thing. And I think that along those lines, that skills would be more
Well, I think in particular of senior citizens who do have the time. I mean, I've worked with them, I've been in the group, and they love it, you know, but they are unable to carry on by themselves, and that's where, you know, I have a responsibility to be contributing to their joy, rather than just thinking, well, I don't like to go all the time, and I hate to be on these committees, and I hate to always do their program. They're not able to anymore, but it's so meaningful to them. Well, doesn't it belong
somewhat
to them too? You know?
I'm not sure I agree with you, Gertrude, that they're not capable. I think they're not willing. I think there are very few of them in any age these days that aren't sharp enough to do it.
Well, I agree, but this is their attitude. You know?
Well, but this is an attitude that maybe I think we should change. If they really have a commitment and are that interested, they're going to do it, whether you do it for them or not. And if they're not, if they're going to have to be tap-fed, personally, I'd drop it. They will do it if they really, really want it.
Oh, I think I disagree with you because I have many older friends and they're very precious souls, but they have such inferiority complexes, you know, when it comes to doing anything in a group or even opening their mouths. And they can't be changed. And yet they do enjoy, you know, I would never do away with the LCW, I would never do away with it because these dear, precious souls do need it.
But I don't think that I don't like the idea of there being just dear, precious souls that need it. I mean, and I know in your terms, this is a loving phrase about them, but it also can be used from the point of view of being people who are basically unable to handle it. I know that there are some of the really older people who feel this way, particularly some of them who have been dominated by some of the rest of us. And I think sometimes, at least I've noticed, that up here some of the retired people, when they come up here in the fall and they're by themselves and they don't have a lot of program running, you know, running things for them, They're very, very articulate and are able to speak quite clearly, and they might be able to come up, maybe with some help, they could come up with a kind of program that would be much more meaningful to them than what we would be producing for them. Because I think if you do something because you think you have to, then very often, I always can feel it when people are doing it for that reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that your point of view was that you're doing it out of a law kind of thing, but because you feel they need it. Now, how many people here are retired? How many women here are retired? Now, how do you... Well, I mean, in the retired category, in terms of certainly not the housekeeping, but retired from active ALCW duty, let's say. I mean from the point of view of age, because this is what we were talking about. We were talking about the importance of helping people who were not able to handle programs, and therefore you feel like you should help them do it. Now, I've heard this excuse used. Well, you know, there are so many older women in our parish and they can't serve anymore. Well, then for goodness sakes, why do we have that kind of serving if people can't serve? I mean, why can't we, you know, have another kind of refreshments that, you know, that don't have to be, you know, such a big deal that it stops everybody from enjoying the fellowship.
You're the very ones who want.
Well, all right then. Okay, if they want it, I mean, then why don't we? All right, then why don't we do it in the home and make it a real enjoyable kind of a party thing? That I do it because I want to come and see you, instead of this is a meeting and therefore I'm here.
Sharing the shoulds.
I mean, I put this very, very strongly because I just thought maybe we should see that angle. Now. Was next. Bobby.
And I want to know the a definition of what a woman's group in the church should do. If we're talking about should. What purpose does it serve so that we know whether or not we really should be there?
You?
When you get in from Richmond, Washington, I come from a we have a young congregation. A couple families have high school students, a couple are retired, and the rest of us have children below high school age. And we do not have an LCW. Our women work on committees and get the work of the congregation done. And we have a coffee hours, social get-togethers, fellowship. We have study groups for those that want them. But we don't have an organization with a president and vice president.
I want to say one thing about that, Bobby. We had a rather a sizable, really, elderly women's organization at the church when we were in Toledo. And they got in this bind where there was never any leadership. There was one woman that was president for about, 50 years or something, and nobody else would take it. But really, if I were honest about what I really saw as the purpose for this group, it was that the women that came there came to spend 2 hours, and this honestly was the purpose. Mm-hmm. It really was. But in order, because it was in the church, we had the pastor give the Bible study, and we made a collection, and you know the whole thing that they do. And really, all they really needed was a place available, and a time where they could come. And if we put a pot of coffee out, they might have had a heck of a lot better time than sitting there and going to sleep during the Bible study, which was what happened, really happened.
Yes?
I heard a question. I believe LPW is a national organization, right? They have the headquarters and the
Yeah,
people.
Right, yeah.
Well, then this is the crux of the thing. I think you could have committees within your own church, but and we have the problem with the PTA juvenile particular town. What is the national organization getting back to the church that really all this money is going for? Staff and conventions and the materials that maybe. I think this is a question that's being asked too. I did work with the United States, which
the response to you all these agencies. And the question of our communities is, you know, how much money is national spending is a good
What do you say to your older women? What? Yes, Elsie.
I'm Elsie Strandberg. I worked last in an LCW in San Diego, and I should say I'm from San Diego now and up, but that's beside the point. I worked very closely with LCW, President Tawala, and so forth. And certainly in the LCA Church, the LCW is an educational unit, an inspirational unit, a fellowship unit that serves all these purposes. And I don't know how this lady's church is geared over here in Washington, but I feel that a group of women in the church ought to set their sights a little higher than the local congregation. And this is one of the things that the LCW attempts to do, is to give women a picture of the church-wide program. And you certainly don't get that generally out of the pulpit on Sunday morning. And if you don't take part in something besides Sunday morning worship, whether it be LCW or church school or something in addition to Sunday morning worship, I challenge you as to how much information you have as to what the church is doing on a national and worldwide basis. And if we don't set our sights that high, I think there's something wrong with our Christianity. And so surely I feel that LCW has a purpose, not that every single woman in the church has to be in it, because as Edna says, she's probably teaching somewhere else and many of you are doing other things. But certainly it does serve a purpose for a great many women. And I might also say, in along the lines of what you were talking about previously, the older women in San Diego, we have a great many retired people, men and women, who come to Southern California to live. And so our LCW is basically an older women's group. And I and a few others of my age and a few a little bit younger really had to bear the leadership responsibility, because whereas these people are willing and loyal and interested, and they will come and fix their own refreshments and serve us, but some of them just haven't the stamina anymore to go out and dig up program materials and really rustle around and put on a good program. So some of the younger ones just have to do this, and surely I feel it's very worthwhile.
Well, I have found, too, Emily, that our material is just excellent. And like I say, I love to go to the meetings, and I love to, and I don't mind giving the program or, you know, presenting the topic and that sort of thing. And that's fine. We should make people who want to do this feel that that's enough, if that's all they want to do. Sometimes, like I say, they make the LCW a time when you pass around paper for everybody to sign up on jobs, and you know, and I think that's wrong. And another thing, another service that I feel ours, especially this spring, we've had so many tragedies and deaths in our young congregation, that it's been the LCW that has really taken a hold and gone into those homes and cleaned the homes and brought and shown real concern for people who needed to have concern about them, and I think this is one of the most important areas, and as well as newcomers, a place where women who just come into the area can find friends within the church, learn to know them on first name basis. You don't do that going to church Sunday morning. So.
Yes, are we ready to get off of this?
Doris wants to say something.
Doris Mark Powell, Seward, Nebraska. All these things are fine, but if it's back to the should thing, that cannot apply to everyone. I think that when you have chosen your own course, that it is not as a blanket program for you. You only be sure in your own mind, but don't explain it to anyone. I don't think explanations are in order. The sort of person who seems to be requiring that explanation from you may not understand it anyway. And the one who doesn't require it from you, why add that to the situation? I work, by the way, I rarely have my efforts channeled through church organizations, but I feel that almost everything I'm doing is because of the Christian faith.
I think that this is I think this is a very, I think it's an important thing to realize that when we just what we're discussing in terms of right now we are discussing these shoulds. I think that it is. I think this is something that has to be underlined for most of us, and that is that we stand on our own feet and do what we value, and what we value we do, rather than that we feel we have to do it. And I think that when you value people of a certain and their needs, you see that need and you do it. When you value a child's needs, you see that need and you take care of it. If you value the needs of something else, you know, this is where you go with it. And I think this is, I don't think we should feel in our discussion that we're being judgmental on each other in the discussion, because what we're saying should be quite free and quite open. I'm afraid I sound very judgmental, and since Edna is one of my dearest friends, I don't want you to think that I was being judgmental in, or that I want that idea or that manner to prevail. I think all of us feel that we do need to be a little gutsy as women and do, you know, and just make up our mind. As Bobby said, I quit feeling guilty about it. And if you love ALCW and you love and you know what it means to your church and community, you do it because you love it, and you don't have to explain to anybody else, well, I do it because of this or this or this. I do it because I know that this is where I can really be of service. Right, don't you think that this has some value? I don't know. What do you think about it? Don't answer. Now, you wanted to say something. You'll have to tell us who you are quite loudly.
I'm Carol Walton, County Minnesota. Officially, our ALCW takes the middle of
a little bit. Anybody who can't hear can come over to this side. Competing with what Howard was competing with yesterday, he called this the situation. So the spot out of which you become. Imagination. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Gertrude, I think, wanted to open up something else.
There have been a lot of articles and lots of discussion on the liberated women. And most all of them that I've been in so far are just don't answer it at all. And I'm wondering, what is liberated woman other than equality in position, equality in pay with men, if you are professionally trained and have the same education? What other than that is liberated women? I mean, I don't get it from any of the articles. They just turn out to be that where a married woman is trapped or something like this, and that is not it at all. This must hit the single woman as well as the married woman. But I don't really know what the whole fight is all about, and the freedom.
Somebody have some...
I'd like to know, as a Christian emphasis, not Christian, but your responsibility and some, but what is liberation of women that they're all talking about? Other than going braless and all this, I'll do all.
Sig, you better tell us who you are, though.
I'm Sig Nabusted, otherwise...
Only cheap.
I think there's a wide range of ideas incorporated in the movement. We had a rather interesting meeting at our LCW, incidentally. We got a couple leaders from the campus. But one of the things that struck me that I didn't know before, and it's hard for me to believe, but I'm told that it is true, that a single woman, a career woman, has a great deal of trouble borrowing money. She wants to buy a house. Because she is a single woman, and unreasonable things like that. That's the one thing that's stuck in my mind. There seem to be two schools of thought. There's one school that says a woman should be free to make a choice to marry and raise a family, or not to marry and have a career. And then there are others that seem to think that you're only liberated if you have it. No liberated woman would marry, which,
well, I think they're hitting it on many points.
Jean, you have to tell us who you are.
Seems like I, and that is, the one thing, of course, is the economic situation. As Margaret Mead said in her address at Scripps at commencement, it is absolutely impossible for a woman today who has five children to ever become a college president, unless she is very, very independently wealthy. I don't mean the kind of salaries they pay in colleges. I mean independent wealth.
I mean, other than the economic...
But you see, that isn't right. In other words, there are women who are as capable of being college presidents as men. Some of the more capable than some college presidents we have, and yet that's completely closed off to them.
But don't you have women presidents out, like Sarah Lawrence and some of those out east have had women presidents for a long time?
And only women's colleges, and in every case, they had financial backing. They weren't doing it, raising a family, being a... In other words, a man could have five children and be a college president without being independently wealthy.
Couldn't she do the same if she's making salary and paid for her
I've
children?
I've never heard of one, and neither had Margaret Mead.
Well, I mean, is that the reason? The only reason?
No, it's just simply that women are put in this position. You pick up the paper, look at the want ads. What kind of jobs are there for women? And what kind of jobs are there for men? If a woman has the same education, made the same grades, and everything
That's
else,
what
then
I said.
Why shouldn't she have an opportunity at the same job?
Well, I said...
Yeah. There's a lot of ramifications in it. The labor market, if it would bend a little, could use married women with school-aged children by making hours 9 to 3. You see, instead of 8 to 5, there should be day centers for women who have to work, women alone, you know, or whatever.
And Jean, how about a mother and student sharing the same job? I would thought that would be a good
lowest program.
Yes.
Some of you
we came
know.
In late.
I know, I was going to tell you. Those of you who came in late, would you just give your name when you talk?
The first time.
The other thing that I thought was interesting that Margaret Mead brought up, and I really hadn't thought about it, she said that every woman who is in a suburb, now, we're not saying that every housewife is trash. What we're saying is women, a man, when he gets out of college and gets married, has a choice of 1,000 different options.
I think
now,
a woman does too.
But she doesn't.
I think she does.
She doesn't have nearly the choice the man has. She is supposed to like washing clothes, cooking meals, and raising kids.
Not if you have a job and can pay, you're getting a salary while you're on the job, you can have your kids taken care of, if that's what you want. But
yeah,
I don't call that liberation.
You can find that kind of help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find that kind of job. But the point is, our society today, you know, back here in the subconscious, we really believe that a woman's place is in the home, and that she's supposed to like this. There's something called the maternal instinct that's supposed to predominate over whether or not she has a degree in chemistry or whatever. Now, there's paternal instincts, but you never hear about them taking precedent over a profession. You see, this is not paramount in a man's life, the paternal instinct.
Well,
it's supposed to be in a woman's life, the maternal instinct.
Let me ask another question, since we were talking about the church. How many of you have women on your church council? Quite a few of you do. How many in proportion to the men?
And how recently did
and
they
how
get
recently
on
did they get on?
We dominate the Christian Education Board.
No,
yes.
We mean the council.
No, I was talking about church council. Or how
well,
many are...
The church council, or the board, the members of the council.
Our heads of committees. How many women are helping at the communion table? Just look at your own church. I mean, in the church probably is one of the last places to liberate women. Deliana's group.
And you know, on layman's Sunday,
how many women preachers do we have?
I wonder how many want to, though. Do you want to be ushers?
No.
You know, I mean, I don't even know what they are wanting.
Yes, but
we're just talking about the situation as it exists.
It isn't a matter of whether you want to or not. That's back to the housework thing, too, you know. Well, I like being a housewife and so on. The point is, when the choice is not available to a person, then it's wrong. The parallel is almost line for line drawn with the situation of the person of color in this country. To me, the definition of what Women's Web is about. Now, these rather far-out manifestations, anytime there's going to be a change, you're going to have somebody trying to get attention to the need for change, and I think these things may only be there.
Well, I have an article in here that's positively frightening, and it says we shouldn't be. But science potentially has abolished pain, and pain has become something immoral. If science potentially has abolished childbirth, it is useless to seek mystical gratification of just the feminine, of it being a feminine being. And the whole thing goes on, it's changing that. So you no longer need to go through childbirth. You know what, we're going to be raised, children are going to be raised the same, absolutely sexless, dressed the same, come out the same, until they reach adulthood, and then they have a choice of what they want to become. Well, I don't know, is this frightening or what we want? This is from the Ecumenical Institute.
Ecumenical Institute. I thought it sounded like...
I think she's a woman leader, not a man leader.
That's what Woman's Lib is about.
Well, I don't either, but that's what it... But the sort of thing you're reading, and that's before the public, and it bothers me.
What I started to say about this talk was that Margaret Mead said, for every woman who is trapped in a suburb with three little persons, you know, none of them over 2.5 feet tall, there is, by the same token, a man trapped in a job. We can't say that all men are lucky because they're out doing what they want to do. I know very few men who are really doing what they want to do.
Yeah,
and it's very tough on many of them, and the pressures of having to fight in this economic society and come up with a living. You have 4 or 5 people dependent on you. It's a pressure, it's a burden. But, as she said, if you liberate women, if you make it possible for women to really have equal opportunity and jobs and equal pay for the work they do, you can, by the same token, then liberate men. Because this man can quit his job. He can go back and get some training. He can spend some time looking around. You're freeing him as well as the woman.
Well, what does a single woman come into this, do you think? If you're
just
freeing
women.
The men.
Just the third women. I mean, now some women agree with that, Gertrude. I mean, they put a whole other bag in there that maybe we aren't doing.
I think men are less liberated than women, but we just aren't realizing how much liberation we have as far as...
A woman has more leisure time. That is true, and that's a precious commodity. But if she can't spend this leisure time in a way that is gratifying to her, if she likes to stow and bake bread, great. She can spend her leisure time in a gratifying way.
Well, I think this is up to the individual of choice again.
Well,
value.
The woman
single
does not
woman
have a
well
choice. This is what the fight's about.
All right,
woman
now let's let some other people talk. There are some other people that like to talk. All right.
I think what the Women's Lib is trying to overcome is I had this. I got my degree in chemistry, single girl, nobody hired me because I would get married and have babies. I ended up getting married and having babies because I had no choice. I couldn't get a job that would be challenging enough for me to want to pursue it. And you get pressures on the job. You know, nobody thinks that much of a girl chemist, but a man chemist, you know, he could have gotten lower grades than I did, and nobody would say anything about his competence. And people that work at Hanford, I know, they admit they always offer women less money. I don't think we're so concerned about the money as we are of the attitude. And this is the black people's problem, too. You're a second-class citizen. And it's not, I can't help it, I'm a girl, but I like chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grossly unfair and unjust, and it's frustrating and infuriating. And I wish that we could do something to change it, because it's impacting men too, because we have to pursue the myth that the women belong in the home and are not qualified to be human.
In the same way, our youngest daughter was interested in going into medicine, becoming a doctor. And she was discouraged by everyone that she talked to, mostly doctors. Don't start it. You're heading for a lifetime of frustration. If you want to get into something, go into medical technology. Be a diagnostician in the laboratory there. They'll let you in. And that was, she's only 22.
Well, that's the opposite experience that my daughter
had. Did she?
She's an MD.
Mm-hmm.
And I have asked her many, many times, have you really discovered any prejudice at all at Stanford? She says, not in the least. They do everything they can to encourage the women physicians to become and finish. She said they've gone so far as to encourage you to go ahead and have your babies when you're in during your first year of residency, which she did.
Mm-hmm.
She said they give us a month off without any questions asked because they feel that they need more women doctors. And she said if Stanford is an example of other med schools, she said there is no discouragement about women becoming doctors.
Yeah, well, this happened to be Ohio State. At that time.
There is a difference in med school, but if your daughter wants to go to med school, have her apply at Stanford.
Interesting. How about some other questions? We just don't want to center on women's lib and the problem of the position of women and also on the shoulds. Now, are there some other questions that somebody has in mind? If not, we can go ahead on this one. Or yes, Lois.
Well, I'd like to maybe make it take another little tack. I work with preschoolers, and when I read the Women's Liberation stuff, I always wonder where the role in surveying classes.
This is exactly what was on my mind, Lois.
A preschooler desperately needs somebody with whom he can have an intimate, emotional, one-to-one relationship. And when he's forever parked with stairs, the stairs are, from the experience I hear from neighbors and others who do this sort of thing, you're very lucky if you get a sitter who is able to learn such food, because most of them consider babysitting not as what I'm doing to this child, but as a way to earn money,
mm-hmm.
which is another proposition. And children are shunted from one thing to another if they get chicken pox, then what? And I'm just worried where these little people are going to come out when they're considered second in importance, because a little child needs to know this is very important.
I think this is one place where the church can really help in establishing play centers and daycare centers, nursery schools, within the walls that aren't being used during the week. They can really contribute to this type of thing.
This then gets on to a little bit away from the subject, but it has to do with children. And I agree with this quite strongly. But then, rather than saying that you have the either-or choice, we must begin to make sure anyone who's concerned about it, that the person who's choosing this course realizes the possible things. In other words, there's going to have to be a good deal more thought given to childbearing, the timing, and the fact that rather than the month off for the baby, it may be a matter of years. That's right. But we are not saying that adequately along with this. We say it only as the complete alternative of the complete put down of it, whereas we should really be saying this is part of it and add it in as you're making your decision.
I think this is the aspect that's left out of what is always called sex education, what educators prefer to call family life education. I don't think there is any emphasis on
I used to think this too. How fast people become parents and how long it takes to pass a driver's license.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't. You haven't talked.
I have one. Then if we're forgetting the little people, is this basically a selfish liberation?
Well, what do you think about that? Now, just a minute. You see, if somebody who hasn't spoken, would somebody like to unload something, or just something that comes to your mind? Is it? Do you think it's selfish to just be thinking in terms of your career or my career? And is there a possibility that I might be such a neurotic mother because I'm so frustrated that I'd be a lot better sending my children to Lois Brokering, who would love them, than have me take care of them because I'm, you know, uptight because I'm not able to keep on doing what I feel like I ought to be doing. I mean, you think there's a problem here? Yes, Liv? Liv Moore from Austin, Texas, in case you don't hear, because there's some stones down here. You can sort of exploit it.
Mm-hmm. The pendulum always has to swing too far the other way, I think, before it comes back.
You know, in nature, Mary, climate and the slopes, there are two things in
nature. Can you speak a little bit louder?
There are two things in nature that you notice. Like, well, let's take plants, for instance. They live their life cycle, and when they kill their seeds, maybe they die, like an animal plant. You can see the same thing with nature. Their main purpose in life is to bring forth another generation. And I don't think
whatever they may be, in a job or position or whatever. And she has that freedom that we have to change our ideas about a man's place in the home. I think there are many women who are putting their dispositions, their health under tremendous strain because they're working full-time out of the home, they're raising a family, they're trying to be a wife, they keep up their entertaining, they're busy in community affairs. Now, I think we have an example in the village of cooperation. Barbara Collins, who is teaches botany, or what all does she teach?
She's a she has a PhD in both biology and geology.
No, botany. Botany.
Botany.
Genetics.
She teaches biology at CLC.
And her husband, Larry, teaches geology at San Fernando State College. They have 5 children now, and they have so arranged their schedule. They do not have a babysitter. He's home when she's working, and she's home when he's working, and they share.
There isn't a man in the village who would like to wring his neck.
But I would like to.
And he's a liberated man. He's a liberated man.
But do you know what a very interesting thing about Barbara Collins is? That she did not know what Women's Lib was all about. Mm-hmm.
But the thing
Julie Hayne and I were talking about this whole problem of liberation, and both of us have driving husbands who think, you know, we should do our thing, get out of the house and go ahead and, you know, or Carol's always saying, why don't you write books like Edna does, or why don't you, you know, go and teach instead of giving talks, or, you know, it's all these things. And Julie has the same problem. And both of us felt that a lot of the liberation problem was psychological within us. Mm-hmm. The thing about Barbara is she has no problems in this direction because it doesn't occur to her. She's always been interested in all these different things. She sews and she makes Larry's t-shirts and her t-shirts and the clothes for her children, and she makes they're tops. And she makes ceramics. She made herself a tea set when she was up here, and I could never finish my embroidery, so I gave it to her and she finished it. And she plays the flute to the baby in the morning while she practices Mozart and paints, does all these things, and finds buckskin.
She's thinking about becoming a doctor.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if she would, and I suppose they'll give her a month off for her next baby. That's all she'll need.
I like to be born there.
She's just remarkable. But I don't think that she, but the amazing thing is she does not become a law to me. Really, I don't think she's a law to anybody in the village because she's so easy.
Don't you think part of the reason that she is easy is because the man that she chose for a mate allows her this individuality?
I don't think
also.
She figured that out ahead of time.
No, I know that. But this is virtually how it worked out, and their situation sounds to be, to me, as if it must be a mutual freedom. We talk about liberation here. It sounds to me as if we're talking in terms of fighting
for it.
Fighting the male world for this. I don't want to fight the male world. I want to be free inside of me, with or without the male world, to fight.
I think a lot of it is circumstances, too, because my husband is just as long to care for kids as Larry is, and he has. But Larry and Barbara have jobs that dovetail. Mm-hmm. Her and I do not. Her job requires, they want him body and soul.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches 6 hours in the seminary. There are some seminary professors that only teach 6 hours, and it's a full-time job. For her, that's just one quarter of his job. Then he has something else that takes him out of town at least 1 week a month. That's supposed to be another quarter. But while he's home, he's also supposed to be writing papers and preparing for this one week. So both of these jobs could be full-time, but then there's this other half that he's supposed to be doing. Okay, this leaves him exactly 0 time for home and family.
This is where I think the liberation problem comes in. We feel stuck, and we need an out, and we can't have our husband for the needs that we have. And so you have this feeling of somehow or other finding something that satisfies your need.
I don't think Barbara and Larry really can be cited as a...
No, I'm just saying that... Well... No, I don't feel that way. I just think she does a lot of things, and she doesn't bother about worrying about liberation.
But there we're talking about little children. I mean, maybe possibly she had her mother spent enough time with her. She didn't.
Well, we will have to dispense with discussing Barbara or anybody else, because it is now 3:00 and the men are coming, and the women who want to stay and discuss sickness and death. And so we will have to close this particular session. I would like to leave one thought with you, however. What does this have to do with the culture or civilization of which we are a part? I mean, I'd like to know, and I don't want you to answer it, I'd just like to have you think about it. Where does a woman's particular gifts, and they're not necessarily that different in many places, in many ways from a man's, but how is this, supposing we do completely homogenize life in terms of the sexes and the way in which we live, what effect is this going to have, do you think, on the kind of culture we produce? Now, I don't know. I'd just like to have you know, but I'd like to have you think about it. And I'd also like to have you think about one other thing, and that is there a place for woman as an intelligent dilettante.
If you live in an urban area.
Oh, don't answer me. I don't want any answers. I would just like to have, and then if we have time, we'll have another meeting. How many of you would be interested in having further discussion on this? If you are interested, we can maybe schedule another one, because it isn't that hard to do, but I just don't think there's any point in just stuffing the program.
Mm-hmm.